Hello and welcome to another episode of Pinot and Perfume. As always, I am your host, Sarah Chacon, and today I got an unsolicited compliment. Technically 2020, we had a brewery in my town open up, and there's actually a new run club associated with it. And so they recently started doing Sunday brunch runs. They start late. So they meet at the brewery at 11 and you run 20 minutes out on this trail and you run 20 minutes back. And if you want to do the full brunch, it's like $20 for unlimited beer mimosas and a breakfast sandwich. Or you could just not opt to do the brunch and just get like a beer or two and you still get a discount. So did that this morning. And since it starts so late, I mean, this is probably kind of vain, but I don't want to wait precious hours not wearing perfume. I know that's dumb, but I mean, listen, I started a whole damn perfume podcast because I love this shit so much, right? So when I work out in the mornings, I don't put it on because usually it's like 6:37. So it's early enough in the morning. I haven't started my day yet, but like by 11, you're well into the morning and almost to the afternoon. So I wanted to wear a little something because I knew I was going to come home, wash it off, and put on, something else. So I like to keep it light. Last week was the inaugural run with this group. And so that I wore the La Petite Robe Noir Légère spray since I was reviewing it, did some extra. And today I opted for just Chloé Eau de Parfum. I haven't worn that. That's in my springtime fragrances. But since fall and winter are kind of heavy and I was running, so I didn't want to choke myself out or choke anybody else out. I wanted to keep it light, want to keep it fresh, want to keep it fun. I did Chloé Eau de Parfum. So ran my 20 out, turned around and was heading to like midway, headed to a trail, the trailhead bathroom. And I passed by a guy walking his bike out and, we exchanged pleasantries. I said, excuse me. He said, how are you doing? I said, I'm fine. And then just as I was opening up the door to the bathroom, he's like, you smell good. And I was like, well, thank you, kind sir. And that shit made my day because I don't wear perfume for the compliments, but it always feels good to hear you that you smell good. You know, like some people, and compliments are a big thing, I think, in fragcom. I mean, to be honest, we would be wearing perfume regardless, but it's always just like an icing on the cake when you get a compliment, whether it's from your significant other or a friend or a complete stranger. So Chloé EDP, I can say, is I did get an unsolicited compliment from that, and I was very happy. Now, today I'm drinking. I had to stop and take a sip. I'm back to drinking my Kirkland Signature Box Cabernet Sauvignon. Sue me. The shit's good, and it's fiscally responsible. And I did have beer mimosas and a beer mimosa and a goza earlier at the brewery, but this is Pinot and Perfume, so I gotta drink a little bit. Have a little bit of a nightcap, if you will. So I recently saw the video to Annie Lennox's Walking on Broken Glass for the first time, and it gave me feelings like around the time when I became a woman. Now, when I talk about when I became a woman, I'm not talking about getting my period for the first time. The day that I consider when I became a woman was the day that boys were no longer icky to me. And that was, I was watching Little Women, the one with Winona Ryder, Christian Bale, Susan Sarandon, Kirsten Dunst, Claire Danes, the only cast that matters. I was watching that and I had seen this movie hundreds of times. Like my sister and I watched it like on the daily. It felt like on the daily, probably at least every week. We quoted it. We always quoted like the tail end when Winona Ryder gets with Gabriel Byrne, or how's he say? Gabriel Byrne, that Irish actor that was like a fox in a weird way in the 90s. She gets with him and when she finally I think that he professes his love for her and then she doesn't do it back right away, but then she realizes she can't deny her feelings for him. So she finally lets it known, like she wants to be with him. And then he's like, I don't have anything to give you, or I don't have anything to offer you. My hands are empty. Or maybe I think he proposed marriage, because that's how they did it back then. It was like, you meet someone, you fall in love, and then you're like, yeah, I'll marry this person. Kind of like how Claire and Dale Moss did on The Bachelorette, but not as much of a shit show, because this is a cultural norm. So anyway, I think she had to think about it, or she wasn't sure. And then she finally was like, I accept you, all of you, or whatever. And then he's like, but I have nothing to give you. My hands are empty. And she puts her hands in his, and she's like, not empty now. Like, my sister and I always quoted that. And my sister, I would play the part of Gabriel Byrne, and then my sister would always quote the Winona Ryder part. But for some reason, she gave Winona Ryder like a weird Southern accent. So I'd be like, you know, I have nothing to give you. My hands are empty. And I would try and talk like him and fail. And she would be like, not empty now. Like, it was weird, but, you know, it was funny. A little kid shit, you know. But the particular scene in which I became a woman and boys are no longer icky was the scene in which Christian Bale kisses Winona Ryder. And like I said, I have seen that movie hundreds of times prior to then, but this particular day, something switched, it hit differently, and I was like, oh man, I want to be kissed by a boy. And that started my lifelong boy crazy journey. Now, that was the, I remember the feelings it gave me. It was like, what are these new feelings? Not even like sexual arousal feelings, but just more of just like, wanting to be kissed. Like, just, it was super innocent, obviously, because I was like in fifth grade, but just super innocent. Boys are all of a sudden cute and handsome and, you know, all of the things. And I just, it made my heart flutter. It was just, you know, if you remember your own turning point, you will know the feeling. So I was, you know, washing my face. I had like a YouTube playlist, and Walking on Broken Glass came on. I have never seen that video before in my absolute life, which is weird because, I mean, I'm familiar with the song. Like, I've heard the song 20 million times. I mean, as someone mentioned on the comments on the video, you walk into a CVS and it's always fucking playing. And if it's not fucking playing when you walk in there, it will play at some point during your visit. It's science. So I've listened, you know, aware of the song, but I've never bothered to look up the music video for it. And so that came on. And it's got John Malkovich and Hugh Laurie as fops. Now, the whole idea behind the music video, because of course I had to start like research it afterwards. The whole idea behind the music video is that it was inspired by Dangerous Liaisons, which has John Malkovich, not Hugh Laurie. So the whole, you know, it's 18th century French, and they got the powdered wigs, the whole thing. And I was confused at first because this, you know, prior to my, you know, down the rabbit hole of research, I thought that this song was from Dangerous Liaisons because I didn't know when. I know Dangerous Liaisons came out sometime in the late 80s, early 90s. And I knew this song was around the same time. And so I was super confused because I was like, was this song on Dangerous Liaisons? It sounds very strange for this because the song is way too modern to be on that, you know, on that movie, to be a part of the soundtrack. And I thought it was, you know, the song was featured in the movie. Not so. Movie came out in 88. This song was from her, I think, Diva album in 92. Anyway, I'm getting sidetracked. Hugh Laurie and John Malkovich are dressed as fops. And this is weird, but I watched it and I got the same feelings that I got when I saw Christian Bale kiss Winona Ryder all those years ago in the fifth grade in my living room. And I don't know what it is. I'm not particularly into fop play. I don't know if that is even a kink. Maybe this is a new kink of mine. I don't know. But both men looked very good as fops. And that puzzles me as much as it's probably puzzling you right now, because fops aren't known to be, from my limited knowledge, they're not known to be particularly masculine men. No offense if you're not a masculine man, but you know, it's got the powdered wigs and they talk like this, you know, like they're just very exaggerated. But I don't know, whoever did the makeup, John Malkovich has a beard and a goatee that looks really good. I did read a blog article kind of making fun of the video. It does lend itself to that. And they did say that they matched his eyeshadow to his beard and goatee, which looks weird. I do agree with that, but I still find it weirdly attractive. Hugh Laurie's got a little heart on, like, underneath his eye. And I have become mildly obsessed with that video. I watched it. So I first glimpsed it Thursday, and then I thought about it on Friday. I watched it like four times on Friday, to the point to where, like, in one of those times I was like doing dishes and I was watching and I put it on, and Tony's like, why are you watching this video? And why are, like, he goes, you're the only person on the planet that cares about this song, because he hates Annie Lennox. And I am obsessed with that video. DTF, both John Malkovich and Hugh Laurie. Hugh Laurie DTF anytime. I mean, let's be real. I mean, he's a good-looking man. Even now, good-looking man. Eyes are kind of bugged, but it works. John Malkovich, I would say, is probably not a classically good-looking man. Neither is Hugh Laurie, but John Malkovich even less so. So DTF John Malkovich, only in full fob gear. And I would have to somehow find a time machine and take me back to like 1992 or whenever this fucking video was filmed. That would be the only way, because I would want to feel the warm embrace of John Malkovich as a 90s fop, but it would literally have to be him as a 90s fop. I don't know if I could do it now. I don't know. He's a little bit old. I don't know if I could do it. But obsessed. I'm also obsessed with Annie Lennox's look. Because granted, I mean, she's in a red dress and everybody is in like muted pastels or white, obviously. That's a trick to make her like really stand out from the crowd. She is not in a powdered wig. Instead, she is in a red turban, but the turban looks like she got out of the shower and like wrapped her head in a red towel, or in this case, like a velvet something or other, and flipped it up. I mean, the look works, and some people might make fun of it. It works. Her acting is on point. I don't think I realized how beautiful Annie Lennox is. She is really is stunning. Even now, she's got stunning eyes. So obsessed with her look, obsessed with John Malkovich and Hugh Laurie, you know, feeling the feelings, got the schoolgirl crush, got the heart flutters. I think I watched it again today. I know I watched it one time yesterday. This is Saturday. I mean, well, I'm recording on Saturday. Yesterday was recording on Sunday. Yesterday was Saturday. Yeah, I guess now I got school. I guess now I'm like into fop play. I don't know. Is it a new kink? I don't know. I would be willing to explore that with Hugh Laurie. Not John Malkovich, but Hugh Laurie. Actually, yeah, John Malkovich. You know what? I'd bite the bullet. John Malkovich. You'd have to be in full fop gear. You'd have to wear the exact costume that you're wearing in the video, but complete with the goatee. But yeah, I'd be willing to explore that kink with them. And looking at the video, it must have been super fucking easy to do your makeup back then, because all you had to do, like, nobody cared about contouring. I don't even think contouring and highlighting was a thing. You know, you just powdered the shit out of your face until it was like ghostly white. And then you put blush on, and the whole look was to make your blush, like, I guess, like dull. Like, you didn't have to like make it look natural. You put that shit, you piled it on the apples of your cheeks, maybe brushed it back. It was like super doll style. Then you put on like a red lip. And I don't know if they had mascara back then, or maybe they probably put something on their eyelashes that was like super unhealthy. Like, I don't know, maybe it had like lead in it. Or asbestos, you know, shit back then. They probably put something that now would probably cause you to go blind, I'm sure, if you used it for a long amount of time. But, and then you put on your wig, and that was it. And nobody cared about shade matching. You don't have to worry about that, because the whole aim was to just powder your face to be as white as Casper. Must have been like simpler times. I mean, I'm going off on a whole tangent. I know the whole French Revolution, not a good time. I probably wouldn't even have been in that crowd. I would have been probably a poor serf or whatever their class, the lower class was. I couldn't afford a powdered wig. But if I did, it must have been a easy time to do makeup. And I'm going to, you know what? I'm off on a tangent now about doing stuff like, you know, putting stuff in your eyes that shouldn't be put there. My friend Aaron, I guess, watched, I don't know if it's a movie or a documentary. It's called Radium Girls. And apparently there in the 20s, there was a whole thing called radium therapy. And basically she told me about an energy drink called Radithor, and it was radium diffused in water. And so she told me about that. And of course, me and my husband go down this whole rabbit hole, and it wasn't just Radithor. Like there was paint, I guess there was paint. There was some other bullshit too, that you could, like you could, you know, put on yourself. And it was thought to, like, in the Radithor's case, like give you energy and like have, you know, have some health benefits. And at first I was like, okay, they can be excused because they didn't really know the harmful effects of like playing with raw radiation, what that would have. But then we watched a video on YouTube that kind of did a rundown. It was a quick summary of like the whole, that whole era. And apparently there was some health, like they did know about health conditions. I don't think they knew the full spectrum of what it could do, but there was some cautionary, you know, people cautioned that there could be health problems when using radium like that. And people thought it was, they didn't take it seriously. They were like, lol, fake news. I'm going to consume this radium because it gives me energy. One tennis athlete, I think his name was like Eben Myers or something, he used it so much. I think they said like in 1 year, he consumed like 500 bottles of this Radithor. They came in like 1 ounce bottles for like a buck, which nowadays would be $15. And well, the article I read was written in 2016. So at the time it would have been like $15 and $2016, you know, adjusted for inflation. But he consumed so much that his jaw fell off. He got holes in his skull. And then when he eventually died, he had to be buried in a lead-lined coffin. And then in the 60s, they exhumed his body. And I guess there, the rads was just radiating off of him because they, you know, they wanted to obviously examine the effects. But isn't that wild that people in the 20s were just like, you know, radiation? This is the next wave of health fads. Yes. Yeah, let's do it. Let's put it on our bodies. Let's consume it. I mean, those people must have been fucking glowing. Oh, they put it in toothpaste. That's what it was. They put it in toothpaste so they had whiter teeth. And anyway, it worked because their teeth were fucking glowing. But can you imagine brushing your teeth with like pure radiation? That's fucking insane, dude. Back in the day, those were wild times. I feel like modern medicine has come so far and we still have so far to go. But that the 20s weren't that long ago, if you think about it. And I feel like people were just throwing shit at the wall to see what stuck in early medicine. I mean, you could like, people were prescribing like cocaine. Doctors were prescribing Radithor. People were also prescribing like cocaine and barbiturates and shit. That must have been wild times, man. Everybody's just high on either cocaine or heroin or opium. Or if not, they're just, you know, chilling out, glowing in the dark from, you know, their radioactive treatments. That's crazy. I'd love to go back in time and see that shit in action. I bet it was wild. All right, now I'm done for real. And let's get into scent of the week.
Walking on broken glass.
Now I have that song stuck in my head, which the song itself is a banger. Let's be real. All right. So this week's scent of the week is Alien Fusion. It had been a while since I had reviewed a Terry Mugler scent. The last one I did was Aura. That might have been last summer. And so I was like, I've got a shitload of samples because hot tip, which I mentioned on this podcast before, if you go to the website, like the Mugler website, and contact customer service, they will mail you, I think, like up to 3 or 4 samples for free. So I reached out to them a couple times over the years, and now I have quite a few little numbers of samples. So if you want to sample any of their stuff, that is a way to do it. And I don't even think you have to pay for shipping. They'll just send it to you. And they're pretty timely. So... And another hot tip, I have been seeing ads all over Facebook and Instagram. Apparently, they're having a BOGO deal. Like, if you're a member of The Circle, which I guess is their, like, fan club or whatever, or newsletter, I don't know. But if it's, like, buy one, get one free. Like, I don't think it's buy one, get one 50% off. Like, they're saying the wording on the website or on the ads are buy one fragrance, get one on us. Like, buy one for your Valentine's Day promotion, get one on us. So if you want to purchase a Moogler fragrance, maybe you've been wanting to purchase Alien or Alien Fusion, which is our scent of the week, or Angel or whatever, now is the time to do it. So, all right. So it's Alien Fusion, scent of the week. And I forget where I read the description for this. It might have been a magazine. I don't know. But the description made this sound like shit hot. I read the description. I was like, I need to test this out. I would say, well, you know what? Let's go into the difference between Fusion and Alien. Now, my first impression, because so when I do first impression, I literally spray one spray on my arm and just do a sniff and like jot down my thoughts. Sometimes I let it develop, but I don't, because it's a first impression, right? They're not going to be fully fledged thoughts. It's just what I saw at the outset. So I originally said this was fruity. It is not. After actually wearing it now, I can see that I was misguided there. It smells like Alien. It's got the same Alien DNA, but it doesn't have the jasmine. So the advertised notes in Fusion are top notes of ginger and cinnamon, middle notes of tuberose and orange blossom, and bottom notes of vanilla and white amber. So this one obviously doesn't have the jasmine, and this one is not as loud as the original Alien. It actually sits, it'll project a little bit, but it actually sits, at least on me, really close to the skin. Now, I did get the ginger and the cinnamon. That gives it kind of a spicy opening, but warm, spicy, not overpowering. You can still get the florals, and then it settles down, and then you get the florals, and then eventually like, I picked up the vanilla on my skin. Now, I think this is a good perfume for those who do not like the original Alien for whatever reason. Maybe you don't like the jasmine, maybe it's too loud and it just turned you off, but you want to like it. I think Alien Fusion is perfect for you because, again, it has the Alien DNA, but without the jasmine, and it's super toned down. Like, if you're afraid the original Alien wasn't like office appropriate, which I wear to the office when I was still going to an office, whatever. But if that was a concern of yours, this is a much more wearable daytime scent, if that's your thing. Again, the notes are balanced beautifully. It's got a little bit of a spicy, warm opening, beautiful florals, and then like a warm finish. It gives it a little bit more depth. I think the white amber and the vanilla do give it a little bit more of a depth than the original Alien. But that's like the main thing. This is, somebody described it as Alien's sexy little sister. And I would say, yeah, not as loud. Like if Alien was like the boisterous, sexy, overtly sexy older sister, this Alien Fusion is still sexy, but she's a little bit quieter. She's not as in your face. You have to get close to her to see the sexiness. And so this won't choke you out or anything like that. I would say lasting, it also doesn't last. So projection, it doesn't project. Like I said, for me, I had a little bit of a scent bubble, not a lot. Like nobody's going to smell you before they walk, before, you know, you get into the door or anything. I would say on me, the scent bubble lasted 30, 45 minutes, and then it settled down to a skin scent. So people will have to get close to you to smell it, and it will wear away. So I tested this out side by side with the original Alien, and like Alien will get you through the workday and then some. Like I would say, I don't think you would have to reapply Alien, because at the end of the day, or like after, you know, 6 to 8 hours, Alien, like the original Alien, was going strong on my skin. She was performing like a motherfucker. Alien Fusion, on the other hand, was definitely worn off. So if you were to wear it to like work, or during the day and you wanted to wear it out at night, you would definitely have to reapply because it just doesn't last as long as the original Alien. I also tried this out next to Lieb Ouantants, because then I was like, this kind of smells similar to Lieb, but again, side by side, not even comparable. Like they don't smell anything alike. Similar vibes, because I don't know if, I think Lieb probably has orange blossom too. It also has jasmine. But it's a little bit richer. It's a little bit sweeter than Alien Fusion. And they too don't even they don't even smell alike. So really no dupes or similarities there. So I went over the notes of Alien Fusion. Just a refresher, if you want to know what the Alien, like Alien original, the advertised notes here are jasmine, sambac, cashmere wood, and ambergris. So like I said, original Alien is a jasmine balm. So if that's not your style, I think you might be interested in sampling Alien Fusion. Now, would I buy Alien Fusion? No. And here's why. I think I love the original Alien. I love that it's loud. I like the jasmine. I think this is my first jasmine heavy perfume. And I will be honest, the jasmine did give me kind of like bathroom air freshener vibes, but in a much more elevated and less, like, it didn't make me gag. I liked it. Like, I like it. I think it's sexy. I love that it's a beast of a fragrance. And I love everything about Alien. Never change Alien, never change. So I don't feel that I need to have Alien Fusion to my collection, because to me, they smell alike. The differences from the ginger and the cinnamon and the vanilla are subtle, but you have to really get your nose in there to notice. But in terms of projection and longevity, I just don't think Alien Fusion is something I would add personally to my collection. Like I said, it's not different enough from the original Alien for me to warrant, you know, adding it. Because I feel like if you own one, you don't need the other, unless you're just a collector and you love Alien and you're a flanker bitch and you love all the flankers. I'm not necessarily that. I've said it before. If I love an original scent, I don't really have a desire to get the flankers. The exception being the Shalimar Soufla for some reason. I love the original Soufla and I have two flankers. Now, I probably wouldn't repurchase those flankers after I finish them, but that is a scent that I did at one point want all the flankers because I wanted that scent in every form that it came in. So if that's you, then obviously definitely get Angel Fusion or Alien Fusion. It's a beautiful take on Alien. It's quality. It is a beautiful scent. I just don't think that for me, it won't replace the big love that I have for the original. And it's not different enough for me to add it to my collection. If I could get my hands on Alien Essence Absolue, maybe a decant or a sample, that might be another, like a flanker of an Alien if I liked it, that I would try and get in the future. It would be hard because I think it's discontinued, but that one sounds like it's different enough to where it might be super, that would be something that I would be willing to consider, but this one is not. Although pretty, like I said, beautiful fragrance, the notes really work together. It's just not different enough to where I feel the need that I need it in my collection. I'm perfectly happy with the original Angel. Now, if you want to add it to your collection, maybe you've sampled it and you're like, bitch, yes, this is my jam. You can get it directly from Mugler USA. It's $80 for 3.38 ounce. And that's, and honestly, right now, that's probably the best time to get it. Because again, they're having that BOGO, buy one, get one free promotion if you're a member of the circle. And I think if you're not a member, you can easily sign up. So that's like a steal. So $80 there. They also have it on FragranceNet for $51.99. That is a 2 ounce spray. The perfumebox.com, I've never bought from that, so I can't vouch, but they have a 2 ouncer for $49.95. Ulta Beauty sells a 2 ouncer for $103. Why is it so much cheaper on Mugler USA? That's weird than it is in Ulta. Fragrance.com. Yeah. Sale. Already said that. So there's a lot of places you can get it. It's not discontinued. It's still very much in production. The bottle looks like the regular Alien bottle. It's just red. So yeah, there's definitely places you can get it for a pretty good deal if you really want it. So how Mugler describes it is, at the heart of the desert, an eclipse is revealed. Alien Fusion, a flamboyant eau de parfum that unveils a sensual trail with a vibrant depth. Like I said, this is a very pretty scent, but bottom line, It's not for me because I love the I love Alien regular so much. But if you're one of those people who do not love Alien, maybe you don't like the Jasmine, maybe you think it's too loud, definitely check out Alien Fusion. I think you might like it because it takes with a Jasmine and it's much more toned down, but still beautiful and it still smells like Alien. So that is my hot take on Alien Fusion. All right, fragrance of the week. We got some weird ones, guys, so just buckle the fuck up. First up, I think we all know that we might have heard about the Azealia Banks thing. Like she had posted some clips on Instagram of her exhuming her dead cat, boiling him, and then creating a shrine with his skull. But the reason I'm including this in Fragrance in the News is because along with her late cat's skull and a bottle of Veuve Clicquot is also a bottle of Chanel No. 5 that she put on there. And there's a bunch of shit. There's the Veuve Clicquot, her dead cat's skull, a crucifix of Jesus, the Chanel No. 5, some sticks with some like shells and shit on it, and then a $100 bill. This article mentions that this is from dailymail.co.uk, that she's a witch. But yeah, the bottle of Chanel No. 5 looks well loved. Like it looks like she's worn it. And so I'm wondering, I mean, why waste a good bottle like that? I mean, I'm no fan of Chanel No. 5, but I mean, shit, you couldn't like decant a little bit of that and put that in your shrine, whatever it's supposed to do, instead of doing the whole damn bottle. Like, girl, finish out the bottle. But because I mean, she's got maybe a third of it left. Like it's a well-loved bottle, maybe a fourth of it left. Like she's worn this shit a lot. But apparently she had posted clips. They've been deleted, but she did post clips of her exhuming and then boiling the cat, which, you know what? Same. I mean, my little dog, Ava, she is 12. At this point now, I've had her with my husband longer than I've had her just me. But before I met my husband, it was her and me. She was my ride or die bitch. She's still my ride or die bitch. She is always sitting on my lap. She's always by my side. She is my little friend. And she's a mini schnauzer. And I looked at the life expectancy, 13 to 16 years. So she's 12. So we're in the home stretch. I mean, she's still got tons of life in her. She is sprightly. She likes to play. Like she hasn't slowed down any. So I'm hoping that, you know, we get at least another 3 good years with her. But when she dies, would I consider, you know, boiling her dead carcass and making a skull and putting it on my mantle? I don't have a mantle, but like on the entertainment center, maybe have that little bitch with me. She's my little friend. Like it's weird, but I can see why someone would want to commemorate their cat. Now, definitely this cat is part of a larger picture. It's in a whole shrine. And the cat was dead for 3 months before homegirl exhumed him. So I don't know what possessed her. I'm sure the article goes into it. I think it's on Nonsense. This bitch sounds crazy. I don't know. But honestly, I can't, you know, pets are part of your heart. And when they're not there, I mean, honestly, unless Ava passes at home, if we end up having to put her down for whatever reason, we'll probably get her ashes in like the little commemorative boxes that the vets give you. And we'll probably put her somewhere. If she passes at home, we'll just bury her in the backyard. But I mean, kind of a nice little keepsake of her little skull, you know, so she can always be with me. But no, I mean, it was weird. I just included that because it's the Chanel No. 5. This whole thing is weird. I don't know what Azealia Banks is thinking. I don't know if she's having an Amanda Bynes adjacent breakdown. Who knows? I mean, she did when she picked up her dead cat and put him in a bag, she did say the cat's in the bag, which is kind of funny. Okay, so moving on. Next up is It's clickbaity, but whatever. It is from cosmopolitan.com, the UK Cosmopolitan, and it says, this is a 27 euro perfume Hailey Bieber wears. I don't know what Hailey Bieber does outside of being married to Justin Timberlake. You know, like, I don't know if she was a singer, if she was an actress, outside of being, I don't know who even whose daughter, which Baldwin brother's daughter she is. Is she Stephen Baldwin's daughter? I don't know. I don't know what her claim to fame is outside of her last name and marrying Justin Bieber, but I do think she's beautiful. And apparently Cosmo UK is obsessed with her. And she has gone on record and says that she really likes Ariana Grande's perfumes. And she said that they smell amazing. They didn't say which one she was talking about in specific. Maybe she wears, literally does wear all of them, because I think Ariana Grande has only a handful out. But they were plugging REM, her most recent scent, and was saying they call it a corker. I don't know what slang, British slang that is, but apparently that it's something good. I tested it at Ulta because it has salted caramel, and I was really hoping it would be sweeter. But to me, I don't know if it's was the bottle because it had just come out. So it might have just been a brand new bottle and it needed a few sprays before really getting the scent out. But I just smelled the fig and the lavender, which was still nice, but it didn't blow me away. But that's what they plugged. And then Hailey Bieber also mentioned that she loves X Nylio, which is a perfume she switched it up with because she gets bored of them pretty easily. Girl, don't we all? We all have. Join the club. You're talking to somebody who has like 40 bottles of perfume. And I watch YouTube videos of people with more. Like, we get you, girl. We understand the need to switch it up. Want to wear it based on your mood. Want to wear it based on, you know, if you're feeling sexy, if you like it, I get you. And this one is more expensive. They plug one called Amber Sky Eau de Parfum from X Nylio. I've never heard of that brand. I'm sure it's a niche brand. It's 205 pounds at Selfridges. And my mistake, it's actually a 27 pound perfume that Hailey Bieber wears, not 27 euros. All right, the last one we've got is, it's a lawsuit in Jacksonville. I actually had this one pulled up last week, but went off on a tangent on the one fragrance news article that I was doing. Oh, it was a listicle, and I totally forgot. And, you know, I stopped. But so apparently there's an international flavors and fragrances plant in Jacksonville. Did not know this. And residents who live near there are pissed off because they say it stinks. It emits scents that they're causing health hazards. They're in a class action lawsuit against it. Basically, I guess the way they make fragrance is they distill something called a crude sulfate turpentine, and that's what's causing the smell. And so people, residents around them are saying it wakes them up in the middle of the night. Their kids can't go outside to play. They get chest pains, all this. International flavors and fragrance basically released a statement. They allegedly got, I think, a third party environmental group to evaluate or to audit their process. They said that they're not doing anything wrong, to fuck right off. And yeah, it's a whole thing. So right now it's a class action lawsuit. I don't know if, you know, what else is going to be done. IFF does, in that letter that pointed them to this audit, they say that they are trying to make it right, but I don't know what that means. Because earlier it just sounded like saying that they're not doing anything wrong. You can fuck off. So who knows what's going on with there. But my question is, IFF has a plant. Do they have a boutique in Jacksonville? You know what? Let's look that up. Let's do some Googling. Let's see. IFF Boutique Jacksonville. I don't see it. International Flavors and Fragrances. Let's go continue. I think it's just a plant, but yeah, I think it's just a plant. Because listen, Orlando's like 2 hours, I think, from Jacksonville, maybe two and a half. Like, it's not, the drive to Jacksonville, Florida from Orlando is actually not bad with pending traffic. Maybe 3 hours. So it's actually kind of a lot. But I mean, if they had a boutique there that was open, I would probably consider going there. I still need to go to Perfume World in Orlando off of I Drive. I don't know. I mean, I'm assuming they sell legit perfumes. I don't know if it's at a discount, but I want to go there. I am on a no buy, so probably shouldn't intend myself, but whatever. But anyway, that's the drama that's going on in Jacksonville with international flavors and fragrances. That wraps up all of the weirdness I found regarding fragrance. As always, there will be links in the show notes to these articles in case you want to read more in depth. All right, and that brings us to the end of this week's episode. As always, thank you so very much for tuning in and listen to me rambling about perfume and nonsense and apparently my new kink of fops. If you want to connect with me online, you can do so. I'm at Pino and Perfume on Instagram. You can email the show, sarahchacone784@gmail.com. If you're on Peloton, if you use the app, if you have the bike or the tread, you can follow me on there. We can be workout buddies. I'm hashtag Pino and Perfume on there. And yeah, if you the spirit moves you, if you want to like and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, maybe leave me a 5-star review. I'm not going to say no. That will help, I guess, make the podcast more visible to other people so more people can join the insanity. If you have any fragrances you want me to review, or if you have any experience with Alien Fusion and you want to chat with me there, Instagram, slide into my DMs, comment on the post, you know, whatever. It's always a good, I love talking fragrance. So it's always a good time when people interact with me. Other than that, I hope you guys had a good weekend. I hope that whatever you're doing, you are being safe, you are having fun. Most importantly, you are smelling good. Bye. Pino and Perfume is hosted and produced by yours truly, Sarah Chacon. Theme music is Around the Bend by Evan Schaefer.